What's up, everybody? It's Jacob with the Football Fanatic. It's been a long time since I've made an episode. I've just been really busy. I have a lot of stuff going on in my life. And since this was something that didn't make me any money and kind of just a hobby side project thing, haven't really recorded much, but I've really missed it. So I kind of want to get back into it. And I think I'm going to start doing at least weekly pick'em episodes. So I have been actually keeping my website updated with all my picks for every week. So you can check that out if you like at jacobgallipo.com. And then under the Football Fanatic in the menu, choose weekly picks and you can see spreadsheets from every week that I've done so far. So hopefully I'll be able to be doing episodes, choosing the reasons behind my picks and previewing the games a little bit. But we'll see how things go. But with all that said, we're going to do an episode right now recapping this past week's games. So let's start right into it. We'll start our recap by talking about our Thursday night game, the New Orleans Saints and the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys win this game 13-10 and snap the 10-game winning streak of the New Orleans Saints. And this game, I feel like, was kind of an anomaly. The Cowboys definitely have been improving as the season's been going on, but New Orleans' 10-game winning streak, like, they were practically on pace to break the NFL record for average points per game. They were averaging, like, 36 points per game. It was crazy, but they were never really able to get in a roll on this game. Kamara didn't really do that well. Drew Brees didn't really do that well. Michael Thomas had an off game. Like, just the offense as a whole didn't really do that much. So give credit to the Cowboys defense. They did play well. There were a lot of blown calls in this game, but overall just kind of a weird game. I know Thursday night games seem to be that way a lot. I took the Saints in this game beforehand, which I think a lot of people would say that. Nobody really expected this. I think this is kind of a throwaway. The Saints are definitely going to bounce back next week. And Cowboys, they're now in sole first place in the NFC East division, but they are playing the Eagles next week. The winner of that game will take the lead and possibly be representing the NFC East in the playoffs. So that'll definitely be a game to look forward to. Next up, the Ravens take down the Atlanta Falcons 26-16. And the Falcons just, as a whole this year, their offense has been decent, but they just really have not been able to do much of anything. 4-8. Obviously, last year they played very well. They were in the playoffs, but just have kind of fallen off a cliff this year. And they've had a lot of injuries on defense, which definitely has not helped them. But I really expected more from them this year. But meanwhile, the Ravens, 7-5, they're not winning their division. That would be the Steelers. But they are holding on to a wild card spot right now, and we'll see if they can hold on to that. But I think the most interesting question about this team is, what are they going to do with their quarterback situation? Joe Flacco's been hurt as of recently, and so Lamar Jackson has started the past three games. And while he hasn't had, like, off-the-chart numbers, he's done enough to get them wins in each of the past 3 weeks. And when Joe Flacco was in, they lost the past three games. So 3-0 with Jackson, 0-3 with Joe Flacco. Are they going to go back to him? That's really what I think a lot of people are asking. And I don't know the answer. To me, I think you stick with Jackson. You stick with your younger guy. They might even get rid of Flacco from what I'm hearing after this season, get out of his big money contract and go with the young guy. So I think it makes sense to end the season with a young guy and see what you've got and see if it's worth getting rid of Flacco, especially when you consider he's doing much better. They're still in the playoff race and they're playing well under him. He's doing what it takes so far to get them wins. So I think they stick with him. Another guy that's really interesting is Gus Edwards. He's been filling in for Alex Collins since he got hurt. Averaged 3.9 yards per carry in this game for a total of 82 yards on 21 carries. So not like a spectacular game, but he's been very, very efficient and has also gotten a lot of carries over the past 3 weeks. And it looks like he's pretty much a bell cow right now with Alex Collins now on injured reserve. But other than that, there's not really any fantasy value. There's not really a lot of offensive stars other than those two. This is really a ground and pound team right now. And for the Falcons, an off day for them as well. They got only 34 yards rushing through three players. Not really a lot. And their leading receiver was Austin Hooper. 5 catches, 44 yards. That was the most yards on the team, the most receptions on the team. And then Julio Jones, 8 targets, but only 2 catches for 18 yards in this game. So their offense struggled against a good Baltimore Ravens defense. And I think that, honestly, is the philosophy the Ravens have had this year. A lot of good defense and a lot of good running, and it's been working for them. They're 7-5 and looking right at a playoff spot right now, and it's been working. So hopefully the Falcons can bounce back in future weeks, but I mean, as of right now, it's not looking like much is going to happen for them. Third game we'll be talking about, the Denver Broncos beat the Cincinnati Bengals 24-10. The now 6-6 Broncos are one of four teams at 6-6, which is one game out of the playoffs at this point. They have had their struggles for sure, but they also have had their great moments, and I think this game was a pretty good one for them. Case Keenum's been a bit underwhelming, but Philip Lindsay has really been the story of this team, especially over this past second half of the season so far. 19 carries for 157 yards and two touchdowns. He has an 8.3 yards per carry average in this game. Royce Freeman also got a lot of carries, and he's been hurt over the past few weeks, hasn't got as many carries. He did get a bit more of the workload this week, but only was able to get 48 yards out of his carries. This clearly is Philip Lindsay's job. He's been the star of this team. The only other thing really of note for the Broncos is Courtland Sutton, 4 carries for 85 yards and a touchdown. Really his first good game since Demaryius Thomas was traded away. The team is expecting big things from him, or at least a lot of spectators were. I guess I don't really know what the team's intentions were, but we thought he was going to be taking the number 2 receiver role, and this time it really looked like he actually was in that, which is good to see. Hopefully the Broncos can continue improving. Sutton can grow into his role, and they can fight for that playoff spot. And for the Bengals, 5-7, but honestly, they're a lot worse than that. They started off the season very well and just have been doing awful since then. Jeff Driskel had to start this game for them. AJ Green went on injured reserve after this game. He's having season-ending surgery. Andy Dalton's, I believe, on IR as well, so they don't really have a lot to play for. I'm guessing they're pretty much going to be tanking from this point on. They don't really have a lot to be excited about. Joe Mixon has been playing pretty well, and Tyler Boyd is also an exciting guy who's a second-year player now, doing very well, 6 catches for 97 yards, but I believe he's going to struggle a bit in the number one receiver role now that AJ Green is hurt. Just a throwaway season for the Bengals and really underperforming after a strong start to the season. Next up, the Los Angeles Rams take down the Detroit Lions 30-16. And Todd Gurley, honestly, I think if Patrick Mahomes was not doing what he's been doing, Todd Gurley would legitimately be like the favorite for MVP. 132 yards, 2 touchdowns in this game, and he is on a crazy, crazy pace. Even after last year when he was amazing, he's doing even better this year, on pace for well over 30 touchdowns. He's been incredible. On the receiving side of things, Robert Woods went 5 for 67 in a touchdown. Brandon Cooks, 4 for 62. Okay days for them. Nothing's super special, but nothing to be disappointed about. Josh Reynolds, not a great day. He's the one who's been serving as the wide receiver 3 since Cooper Kupp has gone down. So not a great day for him, but he was never supposed to be exactly what Cooper Kupp was, just kind of elevated to that what had to be the number 3 receiver role. But not really doing the same stuff as him, so nothing to be upset about. For the Lions, not a great day for them. They didn't really do too much. They were able to kind of stay on pace with the Rams, but the Rams didn't have their best offensive day either. But the Lions, LeGarrette Blount, 16 for 61 in this game. Kerryon Johnson missed this game with an injury, so Blount got the majority of the work. Theoretic also got 8 carries in this game. Only got 3 catches. Usually that's more of the role he serves. I think the biggest thing for this game was kind of disappointment in Kenny Golladay. 3 for 50, and now that Marvin Jones has missed this game, Golden Tate got traded away earlier in the year, obviously. He's really the only normal guy they've got, or bigger name guy that they've got in that receiving core. The leader for this team in receptions and yards, or just yards, Levine Toilolo with 90 yards. Bruce Ellington with 7 catches led the team in that category, and 10 targets. Like, Kenny Golladay should have been doing some of that work, and that was a little disappointing, but honestly, that pretty much sums up the Lions' season this year. The next game was my least favorite of the week. Green Bay Packers fall to the Arizona Cardinals 20-17. If you've ever listened to this podcast before, you know I'm a Packers fan, and geez, this has just been such a disappointing season all around. I guess we'll start with the Cardinals. David Johnson had a pretty disappointing day. 20 carries for only 69 yards, and really was outshined in this game by Chase Edmonds, who had 5 carries for 53 yards and 2 touchdowns. So pretty much took all the work that David Johnson would usually get. Other than that, there wasn't really anything noticeable or notable in this game, aside from really the only play I remember on their offense, which was Larry Fitzgerald's crazy catch right above the ground at the end of the game to extend the drive, end up kicking the game-winning field goal on that drive to win the game. Josh Rosen, this was my first game actually getting to watch him, and I wasn't really that impressed. Our defense is okay, but it's not great, and Rosen just didn't really show much awareness. Definitely has a lot of work to be doing. And for the Packers, there's a lot I could say about them. I'm going to try not to rant too much. Don't really have time for this episode. I'll probably do something on the coaching changes and my thoughts on that later on. But just from the game recap standpoint, I was really disappointed in how this went for Aaron Jones. 11 carries, and he didn't really do a ton with those carries. He did score a touchdown in this game, but pretty much split work with Jamal Williams. He had 11 carries. Aaron Jones had 11 carries. Jamal Williams had 7 for 13 yards only, so less than 2 yards per carry. And for some reason, he was in there like the majority of the second half from what I could see. And I think that's a big reason that Mike McCarthy got fired, is he just doesn't use his skill players, and I don't understand that. Packers also just haven't really done a great job surrounding Aaron Rodgers with weapons. Devontae Adams was amazing as usual. 8 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. He now has 11 on the year through 12 games. But other than that, there's not really anything of note for this team. Jimmy Graham had 8 catches in this game, which I believe should be easily his season high. He just hasn't really done that much. Randall Cobb's been injured all year, and other than that, you've pretty much just got rookies everywhere. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Jake Kumerow, and Equanimeous St. Brown. None of them really did that much. None of them more than 2 catches. Only combined for 3 catches for 30 yards out of those 3 names. Just another forgettable game from the Packers. Hoping for more from them now that they've got this new coach, this new head coach. Hoping for better play calling, better relationship between the coach and Aaron Rodgers. Really, they have nowhere to go but up. I've actually been forgetting to mention my picks and how they went in the past few games. So as I mentioned at the beginning, I had New Orleans over Dallas, which obviously was wrong. I did pick Baltimore over Atlanta. That was right. I got Denver over Cincinnati. I got LA over Detroit. And then hopefully, as with most people, I lost on Green Bay over Arizona. They're actually like 14-point favorites, and obviously weren't able to pull that one off. This game, Houston over Cleveland, I debated about this one. I was buying into the Browns a little bit, not going to lie, and I picked them in this game. It came back to bite me. Baker Mayfield has really took a step down in this game. 3 interceptions. Nick Chubb took a step back as well. He only got 9 carries, and he was the only one who got any carries for this team. Yeah, they were just pretty much down right from the beginning and had to be throwing it. And Baker Mayfield just, I guess, couldn't handle the pressure of the game being on him, having to make his comeback. Jarvis Landry kind of bounces back in this game. 6 catches for 103 yards. That's his first 100-yard game in a while. He's been getting like 30, 40 yards every game. It's been a little disappointing. Antonio Callaway actually caught some passes in this one. So the Browns offense, I mean, other than the interceptions and stuff, like the numbers aren't bad, but really a disappointing day from them. But then the Houston Texans, a 9-game winning streak now after an 0-3 start, easily winning this division. Lamar Miller has been great lately, 19 carries for 103 yards. Alfred Blue, 13 carries for 54 yards. The Texans rushed 39 times in this game, including from Deshaun Watson scrambles. They also activated Deonta Foreman off of IR this week, so that whole running back situation could get interesting. We'll see if it's a committee or if he starts to really do that much or if he's just going to be kind of a backup. We'll see what happens with that. DeAndre Hopkins, 7 catches for 91 yards. Pretty typical day for him. Always makes plays no matter what else is happening on the field, no matter who's throwing it, no matter who's covering him. But other than that, not really that much from the Texans offense as a whole. Just pretty much got up on the Browns from the beginning and grounded out from then on. But congrats to the Texans on a 9-game winning streak. That is really impressive and the longest active streak in the NFL right now. Next game, I'll cop to it. This game didn't go the way I expected either. This was the Indianapolis Colts versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the Jaguars win this game 6-0. Not a typical score that you see in today's NFL, but the Jaguars are able to snap a 4-game losing streak and also break the Colts' 5-game winning streak. So impressive by them. Jaguars still 4-8 on the season, so they don't really have much hope at the playoffs or anything, but they're able to keep their division rival Colts a bit farther out. If they had won this game, they would be tied with the Ravens for the 6th seed in the playoff race. Obviously, 0 points for the Colts. It was a pretty disappointing day for the offense as a whole. Really, the notable thing for me, Eric Ebron had 10 catches on 16 targets. With Jack Doyle on injured reserve, Ebron stepped into a big role and didn't score a touchdown in this game, which is pretty much what he's been good for every other game. But other than that, I mean, a good game from him, especially if you have him on your fantasy team PPR settings. 10 catches, that's always a good day. Marlon Mack was disappointing in this one as well. 8 for 27. I'm not sure why he only got 8 carries, to be honest. It's not like they were ever really out of this game. A touchdown would put them in the lead if they had gotten one. So I'm not sure why he got so few carries, but especially after coming back from injury and just being on a tear for a while, pretty disappointing to see that. For the Jaguars, their offense didn't really do that much either. Obviously, they only had 2 field goals, and that was the extent of their game. Cody Kessler has been starting for them now after Blake Bortles got benched. And Leonard Fournette was also suspended for this game. So Carlos Hyde led this backfield, 13 carries for 36 yards. So not really much for him there. And TJ Yeldon, the second running back, led the team in catches and yards with 7 for 49. So pretty much, there's not really much stat-wise for either one of these teams. There's not that much at all. This also seems like kind of a throwaway game to me. The Colts have been scoring like crazy and just weren't able to do it against their division rival Jaguars. We'll see if the Colts are able to fight their way back into the playoff race. Another pick I got wrong this week, the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. Honestly, these are like the two most unpredictable teams in the entire league for me. But one thing that was pretty exciting in this game for the Bills, even though they lost, Josh Allen, 9 carries for 135 yards. He was just running all over the Miami Dolphins defense. So that was pretty fun to watch. Passing-wise, is pretty up and down. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Definitely made some poor decisions, but something exciting for them. Zay Jones, 4 catches for 67 yards and 2 touchdowns. So that was cool. He's their number one receiver now after Kelvin Benjamin just got cut today, actually. Tuesday, or technically it's Wednesday morning now. It's 12:23 as I'm recording this. But that's exciting to see. He hasn't done a lot this season, as with most of the Bills team, unfortunately. And for the Dolphins, not really much of note for them either. Ryan Tannehill actually has 3 touchdown passes in this game. 1 to Kenyon Drake, 1 to Kenny Stills, and 1 to Devontae Parker. But none of them were able to top 43 yards receiving. And Kenyon Drake also led the team rushing, 7 carries for 31 yards. So pretty much the Dolphins are really, really boring to me. And like I said, so unpredictable. I never know what to expect from them, but they do win this game, putting them to 6-6 on the season. Also 1 game out of the 6th seed in the AFC playoff hunt. So that is 8 of this past week's 16 games. We're at the halfway point, and now it's time for a word from one of our sponsors. Hate to admit it, but it's time to talk about another game that I got wrong. I actually only went 50-50 this week, 8-8 in my picks. But this is one of the ones I got wrong, and not expected. So honestly, I think I made the right choice. This one is the Bears over the Giants, which obviously was wrong. The Giants win this game 30-27 in overtime. And the Bears, exciting day for them, honestly. Chase Daniel won last week in place of Mitch Trubisky. Wasn't able to pull it off this week. Throws 2 picks, and that ultimately obviously didn't help them. Tariq Cohen was really the most exciting player in this game. He had 12 catches for 156 yards. And he also threw the touchdown that tied the game late, which brought the game into overtime. So he has been, even though he doesn't get the most carries, that was Jordan Howard still in this game, he definitely has by far the most upside and honestly one of the most exciting players to watch in football. He's really small, really fast, just an exciting player, and it's really fun to see him play. But 156 yards receiving for him. Allen Robinson was 5 for 79. Nobody else on the team was able to get over 17 receiving yards. So Chase Daniel really favoring those two, Robinson and Cohen. For the Giants, Odell Beckham throws another touchdown in this game. That's 2 for 2, two touchdowns on the season. Perfect pass rating of 158.3, fun fact. Eli Manning was pretty Eli Manning-ish in this game. Didn't really do a whole lot. Does throw a touchdown to Odell Beckham, so he has a receiving and passing touchdown in this game. And Saquon Barkley, 24 carries for 125 yards, continues to be a playmaker. And even when he doesn't get, he does tend to have a lot of lower yardage plays, but he always breaks off at least one or two big ones. So he's another player that's really exciting to watch. And the Giants, winning three out of their last four after I thought they were pretty much going to be tanking for another high draft pick. They're now 4-8 on the season and taking down the Bears, who were previously 8-3, but still comfortably in the lead of the NFC North division. Hoping soon we'll get to the games that I actually got right this week. But unfortunately, this isn't one of those. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Carolina Panthers 24-17. And the Panthers, after starting off the season really well and still honestly looking pretty good on offense, aside from something that we'll get into in a minute. But they've been playing pretty well, but they've been losing quite a bit lately. Now we're 6-6, pretty much on the outside looking in on the playoff race. Still can easily make it, but they're going to have to be fighting for that wild card spot, as the Saints are obviously running away with this division. Four games up from the Panthers right now. Cam Newton, two touchdown passes, but four interceptions, which was really the story of this game, and ultimately the reason that they were not able to do anything on offense and unable to get the win in this game. Christian McCaffrey, though, he was amazing as always, and I would know because I have him on my fantasy team. He started off the season slow with not a lot of touchdowns, but he's been on fire recently. He had 10 carries for 106 yards, over 10 yards a carry. Also had 55 receiving yards on 9 catches and a receiving touchdown. He was easily the star of this team. Curtis Samuel was 6 for 88, and he did a little bit. But other than that, there wasn't really a lot of note for the Panthers on offense. Just poor play from Cam Newton kind of ruined this game for them. Jameis Winston in the second game back as a starter looked good. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Really was able to make the most of it, and the way it looks right now, I think he will probably be starting for the rest of the season. I would not expect them to go back to Fitzpatrick, aside from possibly like another meltdown where he had that 4 interception or whatever game. He got benched at halftime. Just the Buccaneers have been very unpredictable on offense, but the quarterback play is either great or terrible, and if you combine Winston and Fitzpatrick both into one quarterback, they're, I believe, the number 2 fantasy quarterback, only behind Patrick Mahomes. So that's an interesting stat for you. Chris Godwin and Adam Humphries, who have been both playing very well lately, both score a touchdown in this game and combined for 162 receiving yards, which means Mike Evans on the outside looking in, 4 catches for 48. Another relatively disappointing day for him. But in the end, the Buccaneers get the win and go up to 5-7 at beating their division rivals. All right, finally, we are back onto the games that I actually picked right. This one was pretty obvious, but still was a little close for comfort. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Oakland Raiders 40-33. They advanced to 10-2 on the season. And Patrick Mahomes, as always, was amazing. 4 touchdowns, no picks, 295 passing yards. He was awesome. And Travis Kelce also was amazing. 12 catches on 13 targets. So that's really good. 168 yards, 2 touchdowns. He does pretty much everything for the team in this game. Obviously, 2 of the touchdowns don't go to him. One of them goes to Chris Conley, and one of them goes to Demetrius Harris. But he had 168 yards receiving. Nobody else was able to top 40 yards, which that leaves a question. What happened to Tyreek Hill? And I have no idea. He had one catch for 13 yards in this game. Disappointing for sure. But, I mean, he's had so many amazing games with like 200 yards. He's had multiple three touchdown games. I think he can have an off game here and there, and it's fine. But I honestly, I think Mahomes, if he does not win MVP, I will be shocked this year, as long as he keeps up the production he's had recently. But the Chiefs' defense actually struggled to contain the Raiders in this game. Derek Carr throws three touchdowns and almost was within one touchdown of beating the Chiefs. They played pretty well, and they fought hard despite having basically nothing around him. Other than that, Marshawn Lynch is on injured reserve. Amari Cooper got traded away, so weapons they're left with. Jared Cook, 7 receptions, 100 yards, and a touchdown. Jordy Nelson, the ghost of Jordy Nelson, 10 catches for 97 yards. I actually thought he retired a while back, so I'm not really sure what happened with that. But on the ground, Jalen Richard, 6 carries for 95 yards. Doug Martin, 18 for 61, and a touchdown. So they were pretty efficient on offense. I think it's more of a problem with the Chiefs' defense just not being good. But we'll see if the Raiders are able to sustain any of this offensive success they've had. They are really struggling this year at 2-10. Another game I got right this week, I'm happy to say, the Tennessee Titans beat the New York Jets and they advanced to 6-6. Another one of this 4 6-6 teams that are looking into the AFC playoff race, one game out behind the Baltimore Ravens. The Jets, I thought they were going to be a little better with Josh McCown at quarterback over Sam Darnold. Obviously, they have Darnold in to get him some experience, but I didn't think they'd play better with McCown, and you didn't really see it in this game. He threw the ball 30 times for only 128 yards and also threw an interception, so nothing great there. The most catches on the team was Robbie Anderson and Isaiah Crowell, who both had 4. Anderson had 48 receiving yards. Nobody else was able to top 31. So a pretty forgetful day for them as a passing offense. Isaiah Crowell didn't have a bad day, 21 carries for 98 yards. But other than that, they didn't really do too much, and their 22 points ultimately weren't enough to beat the Titans. Marcus Mariota, not a bad game for him. Definitely took a step back from his like one incompletion game last week, which he was just crazy efficient in. But still not a bad day. 282 yards, 2 touchdowns, does throw an interception, but also carries the ball 4 times for 43 yards. Taywan Taylor looked good in this game. 3 catches for 104 yards. And this was another weird one receiving-wise. And nobody on the team had more than 3 catches. And 4 players had that: Corey Davis, Anthony Firkser, Tajay Sharp, and Taywan Taylor. So Mariota spreading it around a lot, and it worked for them in this game, and they end up getting the W. Continuing my streak of correct picks, the New England Patriots beat the Minnesota Vikings 24-10. So the Patriots get back on track in this game. Tom Brady looked a little bit more like Tom Brady. 311 yards and 1 touchdown, 1 interception. So not like a great line or anything, but he did what it took, and that's what they needed. So James White, 7 catches for 92 yards. A nice bounce back game for him, which is good to see. He's struggled over the past few weeks, but so good to see him get back. Josh Gordon, 3 catches for 58 yards and a touchdown. Continuing to produce. Hasn't had a lot of high volume, but he's been getting some contested catches. He's playing well as the number one receiver there. Rob Gronkowski, another relatively disappointing game, only 3 catches for 26 yards. Another interesting thing, though, Rex Burkhead was back off of injured reserve. This is his first game back. He had 7 carries for 20 yards, so nothing super efficient, but he did take away some carries from Sony Michel, who had 17 for 63 in this game. And this game was frustrating for fantasy owners. James Devlin, the fullback, takes 2 touchdowns away from Michel / James White / Burkhead / whoever would run touchdowns for them usually. 4 carries, 5 yards, 2 touchdowns for him, which, useless pretty much. Nobody starts James Devlin in fantasy. So that's frustrating to see. For the Vikings, Kirk Cousins ends the game with 2 interceptions, trying to force some things, get back in the lead. But a disappointing day for a Vikings offense that was pretty touted at the beginning of the year. Interesting stat on NFL.com. The Vikings are 0-5-1 this season when Cousins has more than 41 passing attempts. They've won all their games So 6-0 when Cousins has 40 or less. But nobody topped 50 yards for them in this game, 50 yards receiving. Adam Thielen does catch a touchdown, so he continues a pretty great year. He did only have 28 yards receiving, so nothing great there. But Dalvin Cook looked good in this game, which is pretty much the only bright spot for them. 9 carries for 84 yards, so that's a 9.3-yard average. So they do lose this game. It's to the Patriots, so it's nothing like that they can't overcome. But they are still behind the Bears, and they're going to need to make up some ground. But they are currently holding on to the 6th seed in the NFC playoffs. The Seattle Seahawks blow out their division rival 49ers 43-16. And how's this for a stat line you've never heard before? Russell Wilson, 11 completions for 4 touchdowns. How often do you see that? I was trying to look up stats on that, but that's a pretty difficult thing to find. So I couldn't figure out if that's ever been done before, but I have never seen that. 2 of those touchdowns go to Jerron Brown, 1 goes to Tyler Lockett, and 1 goes to Doug Baldwin. So Tyler Lockett, his only catch of the game goes for a touchdown, and he scored in almost every game this season, despite having a very, very low target share. This game goes for 52 yards. On the ground, Chris Carson led the charge with 13 for 69, Rashad Penny 7 for 65 and a touchdown. So the rookie, after a disappointing start to the season, continues to look impressive ever since then. But yeah, the Seahawks really get it done, 43 points, and having a late season surge after starting off the season pretty poorly. Nick Mullins, not a bad game for him, 400 plus yards for, I believe, the first time in his career. 2 touchdowns, does throw an interception. Receiving, Dante Pettis, the rookie, 5 catches for 129 yards and 2 touchdowns. He looked very impressive in this one. I remember watching him, seeing him filling in for Marquise Goodwin the first game that he got hurt, and I thought he looked impressive. He's a fast dude, exciting to watch, and that's what we got in this game. Jeffrey Wilson leads the rushing attack, 15 for 61. Matt Breida was hurt, and I'm suspecting that's why he didn't get much run in this game, only 5 carries for 6 yards. 49ers, another forgotten season, 2-10 now, while the Seahawks make another playoff push. Sunday Night Football was an exciting game this week as the Chargers defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers 33-30. This game I did pick wrong, by the way. I chose the Steelers to win this one. But the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, 281 passing yards for 2 touchdowns. Those touchdowns go to Antonio Brown and Jalen Samuels. So Antonio Brown, no surprise here, 10 catches, 154 yards, and a touchdown, continuing a great season. Juju Smith-Schuster slows down a little bit, 6 for 49. James Conner, 15 for 60. He scores 2 touchdowns. Nice bounce back after last week. He didn't get a lot of carries for one whatever reason that was. I didn't really understand that one at all, but glad to see they got him back involved this week. For the Chargers, 299 yards passing for Phillip Rivers for 2 touchdowns, which go to Travis Benjamin and Keenan Allen, who Allen receives a career high in targets, and he makes good on them, 148 yards and a touchdown, including some key third down conversions late in the game to seal it. On the ground, though, an interesting thing. Melvin Gordon was ruled out for this game early on with an injury to his ankle, and Austin Eckler was supposed to be the one who was going to come in and take most of the work, and he did get the majority of the carries with 13, but only got 21 yards out of it, and I actually picked him up in a few of my fantasy leagues to replace Gordon, who I had, and it didn't end up starting him, as I remember the last time when Melvin Gordon was hurt late on in the week, and he disappointed. And he did again in this game, 13 carries for 21 yards, as I mentioned. Did catch 5 passes for 22 yards. But Justin Jackson looked the part of the better back, averaged 7.9 yards per carry for a total of 63 yards and a touchdown. We'll see how this splits out next week if Melvin Gordon misses next week. But I would expect Justin Jackson will probably get the majority of the running work, and Eckler is going to get the passing down work if this game is any indication. And our final game to review is our Monday Night Football game. The Philadelphia Eagles defeat the Washington Redskins 28-13. Both of them are now 6-6 and fighting for that second spot behind the Dallas Cowboys. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, the Eagles, who are now 6-6, will be facing the 7-5 Cowboys next week. So the winner of that game will take first place in that division. So the Redskins, we'll start with them. Mark Sanchez has to fill in for this game. Colt McCoy gets hurt early on. So Sanchez steps in, doesn't really do a whole lot except throw one interception. But honestly, could have been worse, especially we've definitely seen worse from him before. So not really much of note receiving-wise for any of these guys. Adrian Peterson, 9 for 98 and a touchdown. So he averages 10.9 yards, which looks good on a stat sheet, but really he just had a 90-yard touchdown. Other than that, 8 carries for 8 yards, so not really much there either. And honestly, I don't know why he only got 9 carries either. He should be getting more. He's a workhorse running back. You kind of got to feed him, and he gets better as the game goes on. Just didn't really happen in this one. For the Eagles, Josh Adams continues to get the lion's share of the carries out of the backfield. 20 carries in this one for 85 yards, so not like anything great, but it's encouraging to see that they are actually sticking with him as the guy who's getting most of the work. Zach Ertz, 9 catches for 83 yards. But I think the most exciting thing to see in this game, Golden Tate finally getting involved in this new offense, this new team that he's a part of. Hasn't really had a great game with them this whole year. But in this game, 7 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown. Also catches a 2-point conversion. So that was exciting to see him actually getting involved with his new team. And hopefully that will continue. All right, that is every game from this past week 13. Hope you enjoyed this recap. And if you're still here, be sure to check out the website, jacobgallipo.com, where you can see the other things I work on. And also you can check out the backlog of all the picks that I've made this season. As I mentioned, haven't really put them in any podcast episodes, but they're there if you want to check them out. Also follow the podcast on Twitter at NFL Fanatic Pod. That's at NFL Fanatic Pod. And yeah, hopefully I'll be posting more episodes, at least one a week, but we'll see how things go. But as always, I'm Jacob Gallipo. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you guys next time.